Greetings everyone and welcome back to Dice Club! Last time, our heroes began their journey through the second, more constricted and more overgrown layer of the world. After seeing that weird stone room with the runes and the puddle of water again, they found themselves with a puzzle for literally the first time ever. After the party watches Marsh electrocute themselves almost three times, they redirect power back into the room, activating two robots, armed and ready for battle. Let's see what happens next!
Seven of you are now standing in this room. You have just successfully wired everything so that the generator is supplying power to the lair. Doing so has activated these two robots with very long, stretchy arms.
They came out of the
Everybody
door.
Everybody roll
that
for
opened,
initiative.
Right?
The door did not open. There was. I'll redescribe this room as everybody's rolling initiative. There were two kind of docks that each had smooth ovular pods on them. One of the docks had three, one of the docks had two. There's the generator in the center of the room. There's the door. All of these you've connected via the conductive vines. You went into the panel on the wall kind of fell away and there's some wires in there and you wired that in and that was able to power up the room and the lair. And then after that, the dock with two pods, those two like opened up.
Got
and
it.
They are connected at the back to the dock, but they are now standing between you and the door.
Are they like the noodle robots again with the grabbers?
Yes.
Got it. Thanks, my man.
Oh no, not the ones that you fought before. They're like they're like guys.
They're like
but
secret?
their arms they're kind of they're like they don't look like Warforged. They just look more like robots, but their arms are like their arms kind of look like the tendrils.
Uh-huh.
But that's what you've got.
Okay.
How fast?
Thanks.
And there are two of them.
Two of them.
How big are they? Are they like taller?
No, they're probably about as, they're just average height, not much taller than any one of the you party members. Okay.
To be fair, there's a big, height difference between us party members.
Between two of them, specifically.
The average of you guys, I think it's all.
They're Ren's height.
You could take the average of your heights, and they're both exactly that.
Great.
Wow.
That's what I'll say.
Venus does math on
guys,
the corner.
Guys, I feel like this is like weird, right? They're like exactly the average height of us as
Have
a group.
You calculated the average height of us as a group?
No, it's just like visually looking at these things. It's like,
and visually
I don't know, it's
kind
of uncanny.
You're getting the uncanny sense that they're the average height of our group?
Look,
guys, I don't
guess...
know where my calculator is. No!
Sorry. Oh no, Venus's calculator.
Venus's
oh, no,
calculator. That's why Venus doesn't know that they're the average height of our group, because she's lost her calculator.
My calculator!
It's just my keen possum senses pick up on this kind of thing. I guess.
I never
know.
Knew. But did Rain lose points when, Marsh lose points when they kept fiddling with the electricity?
Lots.
So what
okay.
are they at currently?
Do I have to tell you?
I would like to know if I'm going to need to heal you. I would like to have a general idea of what your HP is doing.
I'm doing okay.
Give me a number.
What are you at? It's, yeah, what are you at?
Of?
Okay.
Are you sure?
Cool.
Okay.
Out of 58?
Great.
29 is basically 30. I mean, if you really think about it.
And 30 is basically
right.
60.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Half of it.
That's how that works.
On average, like if you're looking at like rounding. Okay, so Robot One is going to reach for Saradin, extend one arm and make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh boy, my worst stat. Oh, whoa, shit. Eight.
Eight. Okay. So the arm kind of jets towards you and then wraps around you, constricting you. You are going to take...
That's Saradin's beginning squish noise.
Ooh. Okay. You're going to take 9 points of bludgeoning damage as it squeezes you. And then it's going to pull you into the air and throw you at Meadow. So...
Meadow, look out!
Both of you make a dexterity saving throw.
Ooh.
Wait. that's not... I wrote dexterity save, but I didn't... It shouldn't be both of you, but it should... I don't know who it should be. I'll say Meadow.
Okay, that's yeah. Meadow
nice.
Makes a saving
throw. To get out okay. of the way instead of me yeah. trying to move midair.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so, Meadow, you are going to... So Saradin is launched through the air and kind of thrown into you, and you are both going to take, okay, all right, 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
And I am.
As now, Saradin, you are kind of on the ground, prone, and Meadow, you just took that damage, and you are next.
Right. That was brutal, immediately.
Ow.
Well, first of all. As a bonus action, I'm going to cast Healing Word on Marsh, which is
okay.
Hopefully I'm going to roll well because that's only a d4. That's a 4. Yay!
Yay!
Okay, what does that get added to it?
To the just the HP. Just a little bit. Which is
Is it just a d4 or do you add your bonus to it?
Oh yeah, plus the modifier. What is my modifier? It's been ages. Sorry. 5 plus 5, so 9 total.
Whoa. Okay,
that's a lot better. Yes. All right.
And then I've done that. That's a bonus action. My action is a different thing, which I'm going to cast Bane on both robots, which means that they have to make charisma saving throws right now.
Can you do two spells in a
round?
You're
in luck.
One of them is a bonus action, so yes, I can.
But it's
a... No, Bane, it targets up to 3 targets.
You could do... I think as long as it says bonus action and the other says action, then I think you're golden.
Healing Word is a bonus action, this one is an action, and it targets 2 things currently. So they have to make charisma saving throws.
All right, so the first... what am I beating?
What is just my charisma score? Just my charisma.
It's...
Is it?
Is that any different than... 8 plus proficiency plus charisma?
What are you talking to?
That's your spell save DC is 8 plus your proficiency bonus plus your charisma modifier.
No, that's the same. It's 13.
Okay. All right. First one fails. Second one, did not roll on the thing, also fails. Got the exact same result, both of these guys.
Right.
Pretty uniform.
Now,
okay.
For 1 minute, whenever they make an attack roll or a saving throw, they have to roll a d4 and subtract it from the roll.
Ooh, yikes. Okay, that is brutal. okay, Marsh, you are next. Are you trying to move anywhere, or is that your turn?
That's probably my turn, yeah.
Okay, Marsh, you're next.
How close am I to the robots and to the rest of the party, respectively?
I think the party was kind of, as this happened, you're probably within 10 feet of everyone in the party and, also the robots, but the robots are like, I feel like everybody's kind of within a general cluster. You may be off to the side a little bit cause you were doing your generator antics, but, the robots are probably 10 feet away from your group.
I think Marsh glances over at Meadow. And then goes for their tinker's tools, and then goes for their dagger, and I'm gonna run up and do 2 attacks on, I guess, the one closest to me.
Okay.
Just trying to, like, slit these wires with my dagger. If I can, like, get in between their metal plates, if I'm understanding their cosmology right.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and roll both those attacks.
An 8 and a 3, so.
Okay, yeah. Neither of those hit. You you go up to this robot and try to kind of slash its arm and get your dagger between its plates, but it nimbly kind of like whips it and like zigzags the arm, curving it away both times you attempt to. And is that your turn?
Based on my knowledge of robots, would these wouldn't be classified as beasts, would they?
No.
Great. Yep. All right, that's my turn.
Saradin, you're up next.
All right. I'm pretty peeved about these robots. Did anybody move like next to the robots in those last couple turns?
Marsh is right up next to him.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay. Well, can't do my AoE spells.
How can I? I'm fine taking AoE, depending on how bad it is.
Let me see how bad it is. I mean, I could cheese it. I want to cast Spike Growth under them, but...
They are standing also right next to the door.
Okay, yeah, so I probably don't want to do that.
As well?
I could also just stop the spell when we want to leave, but...
That's fair.
I'm not going to do that right now. Instead, I will just go ahead and do Hunter's Mark on one of the robots.
Just pick robot one or two. There's one on the left and one on the right.
I will pick robot one. As
okay,
my
perfect.
Hunter's Mark, so I'll do an extra 1d6 if I hit it.
Perfect.
So we're all by the door that was closed. Like, me and the robots are by the door that was closed with the panel.
Yes.
And by the two pods, okay.
Okay, and then I'm gonna go ahead and hit it with a bow attack. That is a 21 to hit?
Yeah, I think that'll do it.
Okay. 9 plus, that is 11 damage.
You draw your bow and you fire an arrow into... the kind of eye socket of this robot, and a little like spurt of electricity kind of pops out of it with static. And is that your turn?
Yes, that is my turn.
Okay, Venus, you are up next.
Okay. Oh. So do these robots have like a one clear, like obvious, like target? Like, does it have like a power source that's glowing orange or something?
I mean, they don't have like a power source that's glowing orange. They have there's their head and their body and their arms and legs.
You know, everybody has those.
Everybody's got those. They are connected in the back by a cable that kind of, not a cable, it's like another, like it looks exactly like their arm.
Uh-huh.
But it leads back to the dock, and both of them have one.
Interesting. That,
those are the defining features of these robots.
Okay, then I'm gonna run up to robot two, and okay. I'm gonna try to take my sword, I guess, and I'm gonna try and cut the connecting thing.
Okay, go ahead and roll an attack.
Okay. Man, it's been so long. Christ, yikes. This is embarrassing. Okay, 21. God.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll hit.
That'll hit. So that's... Do I do both slash and fire damage? Yes, I do.
If you're going to attack this guy, like, twice...
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll your next attack as well.
I rolled a 12 for my second one.
Okay, that one doesn't hit. So
yeah,
you
sad.
Go ahead and roll that damage for me. That'll be 2d6.
Yeah, Tin. I wanna thank you for making my cool weapon a d6 because it's the most identifiable one.
You are very welcome. also, while we're talking about your weapon, I don't know if you've been adding one to your every attack that you make just with that weapon and all every damage that you roll.
What do you
as
mean?
Well. Because it's a plus one weapon. So, you just add one.
Why?
To every attack. Because it's a plus one weapon. And that's just what that means.
I add it to the thing that, see if it hits?
Both.
Yes, and also to damage.
What?
To
both.
Yeah.
That's a good weapon.
Yeah. It's a pretty good weapon.
Oh, shit. That's a...
Guys, can you believe that Gabs was DMing the first ever campaign that we did in Hat Server?
Man. That's wild.
That's insane, actually.
That is kind of fucking wild.
We don't talk about that. It's 11 damage.
11 damage. Okay. Just doing 11s out the wazoo. That one. All right. Okay. You go up to the second robot, and with your sword, you kind of bring it down onto this trunk. It's inches thick, and you put a gash into the side of it, but it does not sever.
Damn.
Is that your turn?
I guess so.
Okay. Cyrus is up next. He is going to...
Does he have any idea what's going on?
He knows about as much as you.
Like, I mean, he was here.
In this arc.
Do any of us?
He knows.
I feel like he knows very about similar as much amount as of information.
He's been here. You two. He's been along for the ride.
Yeah, no, I know. But he hasn't, like, made any, like, comments about it, really.
I mean, I know, but, like, that's more my fault than his fault. He's just been along for the ride kind of guy so far. Yeah. The last couple episodes, I've done a pretty poor job of role-playing Cyrus the Seeker, and it's just been you guys kind of carrying it.
But
I've done neither, so I don't really have a making defense there. So,
anyways.
Cyrus is going to cast, you see, Cyrus kind of extend his hands, and a beam of kind of blue and black electricity arcs out towards the first robot.
Whoa, cool.
And, okay, yes, that is going to hit, and, yikes, oh wow, okay, he is gonna deal 20 points of damage.
Fuck yeah.
To him. That is that. And he's going to kind of arc around towards the back of the room and get kind of out of the way while still maintaining this bolt. Like, the bolt doesn't leave as his turn ends. It is still kind of there, but he's trying to get out of your way as best as possible.
That's a little impressive.
Not to get any of you in the crossfire.
I hate to admit it.
Next up is the second robot. It's going to extend one of its arms towards Venus. And
how'd I know it was
right
gonna
there
be
next
me?
To it, make a dexterity saving throw.
That's great. I love rolling dice.
You're playing Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know what you're expecting.
I actually hate this game.
You did want to play. You did ask to be in it.
I got a 14. Does that make you happy, Tenfold?
Yeah, it makes me pretty happy.
What is with this attitude?
Fine, I'll play the fucking game.
Next episode, I quit.
No way.
We're done with Venus arc, so it doesn't matter, right?
My contract is up.
Anyways, you kind of you jump out of the way, and as you are in the air trying to do that cool somersault, it snatches you out of the air, and you're going to take 8 points of bludgeoning damage. And then, with its other arm, it is going to move. Its hand kind of opens up, and a drill extension comes out, and it's going to try to hit you with that. So he's going to attack with advantage.
Okay.
Remember that you have to subtract the d4 from your attack roll.
Okay, that's excellent. That first one is a 15.
15 to hit? Well, you freaking know that hits. Dude, next time we find a random room that holds our weapons and shit weapons, I'm gonna take some shit armor.
You should!
That's really a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, the second one was not a crit, and it doesn't matter. You're going to take 17 points of slashing damage.
Oh, that's great. In
addition to the initial 8 as well, yeah.
What? Sorry. You're insane.
So 8 bludgeoning and 17. You guys are 7th level. I don't know why you're surprised by these high numbers.
No, nobody should just attack me ever. I think that's how the game works.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, this is why I DM'd our first D&D game ever.
Everybody had a lot more fun than in this game. Anyways, so after that, Ren, you're next.
Well, first of all, Ren's going to go into a rage. Just because, you know, that's
classic.
What he does.
Typical Ren.
Then I think he's just gonna do some smashes with his big hammer. So I guess first let's go for Robo 1.
Okie doke.
And that is a 18 to hit.
That'll do it.
All right, I whack him and I get 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, all right.
But then I have a second attack.
All right, go ahead and roll that one as well. If your action is ever going to be, I'm just going to attack this guy twice, you can just roll both at the same time.
Oh, sweat. Okay, this is a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that does it.
And another 10 points of damage.
All right, sick.
Get whacked, idiot.
Okay, he still looks decent after that. And next is... you attacked robot one?
Yes.
It is its turn next. It is going to take one of its arms and try to grab you with it as well. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Come on, dexterity. Well, I failed. I got a 6. So that's not
great. Okay, all right. Take 6 points of bludgeoning damage, and you are restrained as it is going to... it's gonna pull you up into the air and then just smash you down against the ground.
Oof.
You take... Oops.
Oh, I take more.
Yikes. And yikes, that is 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, but I half it, right?
Yeah, you have both of those totals.
Okay, so it's 3 and half of 13. Is it, do I do 6 or 7?
7.
Okay.
Man, you're tough to hurt. That sucks.
For real?
Okay.
Meadow. Meadow, you're up.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yep, that's me. I'm going to cast Aid, which I'm going to cast it on Ren, Venus, and Marsh.
Whoa.
Because it's up to 3 creatures. And their hit point maximum increases by 5, and they also immediately gain 5 hit points to their current hit point.
Oh, sick.
Hell yeah.
Neato.
So that's Venus, Ren, and Marsh.
Is it hit 5 hit points?
Okie doke.
Max permanently or temporarily?
For an hour.
Forever!
No, for 8 hours. Sorry, for 8 hours.
Whoa, that's big.
And also to your current hit point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is that your turn?
That is my turn, yes.
Marsh, you are up.
Cool. Oh man, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna attack this guy twice more.
Alright, roll those twice for more. Me.
A 9 and a 7.
9 and a 7, okay. Neither of those hit, and you, so you try to slash, into this guy's arm again, and, pretty much the same thing as last time. You just cut your, dagger through the air, and it very nimbly weaves out of the way. Saradin, you're up.
Okay, so I feel like everybody's pretty much been targeting Robot 1.
More or less.
Not me.
How's it looking?
It looks fine. It's got some damage on it now, but it looks more or less okay.
Damn. So you said they were like 10 feet away from the group. I got thrown towards Meadow, so they're probably about 10 feet away from me.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of cut around them, not quite get, like, I'm going to go behind them, I guess, to try to get at the back of the robot one, like Venus did.
Okay.
Gonna try to hit with my short sword. Yeah, is this an 11 hit?
Unfortunately, does not.
I can't quite reach, I guess.
You just, you try to sever that connection, and it, you swing your little blade, and it just doesn't get there. It just doesn't reach. It doesn't get up that high. You got little arms, and it doesn't quite go. Is that your turn?
I'm going to use I'm gonna see if I, because I have 2 short swords. Are they? Yes. Okay, I can attack with the other one. So I'm gonna try again.
Okay.
And that is a 20 to hit.
That one will hit.
Let's fucking awesome. Go.
And then that will be 12 damage.
Okay. On the first one?
Yes, robot one.
Robot one. Okay. Are you targeting just the robot or are you trying to get at the cord?
The cord, ideally.
Short sword. You swing your first short sword and it kind of like misses, and using the momentum of that strike, you jump up and... kind of spin around again and catch it with your short sword. And it does not sever, but it does take a gash into the side of it. Venus, you're up.
Okay, how close are these guys to each other?
Within 5 feet.
Perfect. Thank you, Tenfold, for being so nice to me.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay, so I am gonna...
You're also restricted as well by your restraint. So
I'm restricted by what?
It's holding you in its arm.
Oh, I must have missed that.
When it grabbed you and, like, held you tenderly.
I didn't hear what happened. I just heard how much that's damage so sweet. I needed to take.
Reasonable. Unreasonable, but continue.
So if I that can't... colors your... I can't move?
You can't move, but you can still attack it. You'll just have disadvantage.
Can't you make a check to get out of it?
You could do that as well if you wanted to use your action on that.
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay.
What do I do?
Go ahead and make an athletics check.
Oh boy, I got a +8 athletics. And that I rolled a 6. So do the math.
Okay. 14. I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're able to kind of get away from this robot.
Okay.
But that will take up the entirety of your action.
Yes, but I've got two of them. No. Yes?
If you attack, you do that twice, and that's one action. But if you use the attack action, you do it twice. If you use any other action, you don't get to reap the bonus of double attack.
Unless you action surge.
Unless you action surge, and then you can attack two more times.
I never use action surge. Why don't I treat myself?
Yeah, why don't you?
Because I forget about it, and I'm like, I already do two attacks. Two attacks is so many, I don't need a third one.
Well, technically it would be a four.
You could do four.
Why?
God, because you get a whole new action.
This is what you do. You chose fighter class, and you get a bunch of different attacks. That's how Venus works.
How do I get four attacks?
Because if you action surge, you can do the two attack thing again. Action surge gives you basically a whole new turn.
Oh!
Basically, yeah. That's essentially true. Essentially.
For her intention.
Yeah,
purposes.
But if I did action surge right now, would I get two attacks or just one?
Yes.
Two.
Oh. What the hell? This game sucks.
What? Because it's letting you do things?
Because it's cool and
there's
being
so
better?
Many
Why
things.
Are you a fighter if you don't want to fight?
Hey, I chose a fighter class. Hey, podcast. I chose a fighter so I wouldn't have to deal with picking spells and dealing with all of that. Now you're telling
that
me I have
literally is why
four
I always
attacks.
Do fighter as well, so I don't have to deal with spells. And here we are.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I'm out of that, and I am gonna try again with my sword to cut through it, and I'm gonna use my sweeping attack where I can do the same attack for both of them on the same
Whoa.
Thing.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, dude.
All right, are you targeting? I guess it doesn't matter which one you're targeting. Go ahead and roll your attack.
Dude, every time I use one of these things, it doesn't hit. So like if like this doesn't work, I'm going to like I said earlier, I'm going to leave the podcast. Okay. Shit. Oh my god. What is math? 13. What
13 does not hit.
Yeah. What is with this? I can't even do my cool stuff because it never hits. Wow.
You get to go again, though.
I go again. That is 17.
17 hits!
Yay!
Let's go! Yay, Venus!
Okay.
I'm so proud
so
of you.
How does this work? If the original attack roll would hit the second creature, it takes damage equal to the number you roll on your superiority die. The damage of the same type is dealt by the... Okay, so... Would that mean that on the first one that I hit, it takes my sword type of damage, and then the other one just takes superiority dice?
Yes. Okay. So actually, which one were you targeting?
The
Robot
second
one.
The one that I was grappled. No. Restricted? I don't know words.
It basically means the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a synergy. It's, yeah.
Okay. That would mean that 12 damage to the first one.
Very nice.
I mean the second one.
Yeah. I got you.
Thanks. And that would be a 7 for the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, bro.
All right.
We win.
Is that your turn?
That's my turn.
All right. Cyrus is up next, and he's going to continue channeling that bolt. And hits the first one for 13 more lightning damage.
So if that robot is holding me, and it gets hit with a lightning damage, and it's metal.
That is a great point. you are going to take 9 points of lightning damage. I did have this caveat written down in my notes. I just forgot, and you reminded me. So it's not like
I
just
I don't
decided
think
to punish
I
you for being
half,
observant and sciencey.
Nine
points
so
of
I do
lightning
have to
damage,
take
but
all
that one
that.
Is not halved.
Yeah. Goodbye, temporary hit points.
Okay. Robot 2 is up next. Okay, it's going to try to... Venus, you can see the arm of it kind of whips over in your direction. Not like it's trying to wrap around you, but it's just trying to hit you very hard. And it just slams into the ground impotently next to you because it got a natural one on that attack.
Oh, hey, Tid, when I cut through the thing, did it go all the way through the cord?
Oh, no, it did not. Oh,
okay, well, yeah, can't win.
Can't win all of them.
This is an impossible combat encounter that you've put us in.
I don't think that's true.
I think this is the hardest fight we've ever been in.
I think it's the most damage that we've taken, sort of collectively.
I just realized that I just haven't ever hurt you, ever.
No, you
and
really
haven't. 7 and I can hurt you.
No, wait,
so I'm actually playing strategically
time,
and developing.
Actually.
Okay, all right. Well, you took 9 damage and you died.
No, I took,
so I don't
I took
hear
like
it.
5 damage because it was like level 1.
Yeah, it was kind of pitiful.
Yeah, whatever. All right. So it is going to try to bring its other arm around towards you and just do the exact same thing. And hopefully it doesn't flap as impotently this time. That one would be a modified 20. So you will take... Wow, it's really bad at rolling on this turn. That is just 6 bludgeoning damage.
To who?
To Venus. And
what?
Ren, you're up next.
Okay.
You said 6?
So
6, yeah.
Okay.
Describe how I'm grappled.
Arm twisted a couple times around your waist and up in the air.
So I have free arm movement.
Yep.
And where's the cord?
The cord is on its back. You are about 5 feet off of this robot. It's got very long, stretchy arms.
So I couldn't reach it.
Not with your hammer, no.
Oh, I was meaning more with like my arms, but
or your arm, either.
Okay,
neither
never mind.
Would work.
So if I can't reach that, I guess I'll just sort of. So when it's an attack, do magical attacks you also get to do 2 of, or is it just weapon attack?
If you're casting like a spell, then you just do 1 of those. But with a weapon, then you get to do 2.
Okay, so if I were to inflict wounds this guy, I would only get to do that once.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that inflict wounds works
would
against...
work on a robot. Wait, you're true. Fuck. Okay, well...
It just says against a creature, so it wouldn't...
Okay. Creature. I think I wrap my hand around its arm and... inflict wounds onto it. Well, no, like aggressively in a sort of drop me please kind of way.
Okay. You do have to make a spell attack. You have to roll an attack.
Yes.
And it will have advantage because you're like grappled.
Oh, disadvantage?
Disadvantage
I meant.
He's not holding my arms though, and I'm just touching him.
I know. But this is how I've balanced this fight.
Mechanically, damn it.
Mechanically,
okay.
This is the leg up that they have against you.
Well, the first thing I rolled was a 15, so that's sad, I hope. Okay, 11 plus 5.
Yeah, 16. That hits.
Yes. Okay, it's 3d10.
Yikers!
21. Could have
21,
been much better,
okay.
But
with that, you
let
kind
go of
wrap
me.
Your... are you... Sorry, did I interrupt you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, right. I can roleplay if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and roleplay this. I was going to do what you're about to do, but you can.
Ren,
I love if you do it instead.
It, like, struggles against the arms and, like, grabs one of them really hard and is like, ah! And inflicts wounds.
All right. Okay. As you inflict the wounds, it kind of looks like the arm, like, rusts a little bit to your touch and it spreads out and kind of parts of it crumble a little bit away.
Oh, that's so sick.
Next is that robot and it is going to throw you across the room. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. 10 plus 3,
13. Alright, that's not gonna do it.
Damn.
You're going to take 15 bludgeoning damage and you are on the ground prone.
Loser.
And then it is going to, Saradin is right behind it, so it is going to try to, move its drill hand over towards you and make an attack with that. Whew. That is a 22.
My AC is actually, 30.
Oh, alright, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, you only take 20 slashing damage.
Jesus.
Yay.
Okay, I'm not looking too good.
That's bad.
Marsh, it is your turn, but you hear a voice.
No way!
It doesn't sound like it's coming from any single point around you, but rather from everywhere and nowhere all at once. It says, Marsh, are you listening? It sounds foreign in a sense that you've never heard it before, but so familiar as if it were your own voice. This causes some cognitive dissonance within you because you know what your own voice sounds like, and this definitely isn't that. And as you kind of are pondering this voice in your head, trying to like parse what it even is, you can feel your attention being pulled to the dock with the three pods.
Oh, shit. Which is on the opposite side of the room. Does it feel like the voice isn't coming from anywhere?
From everywhere and nowhere.
Fuck you. Marsh is just going to run over there. I'll take the attacks of opportunity.
Yeah. Both robots are going to try to whip you. The first one fails really bad. And second one, 14?
No, 15 armor class.
Wow, okay.
Nice.
They both try to whip you as you go, but neither of them are able to, and you kind of nimbly dodge around them as you run to the other side of the room.
I don't think Marsh is paying attention to them. I think Marsh is just running. I don't think they're
okay. So they just all right. So you just run, and they as you're running, they hit where you were, and neither of them are able to. You have now reached the dock, and you can see that when the other dock is powered on, this one also has. The pods kind of extended in a similar way, but they did not open up. What do you do?
Can I see what's inside? I can't, right?
You could roll an investigation check on the pod itself to
I'm gonna do that.
Kind of see what it's about.
I still can't believe after all this time I don't have proficiency in investigation.
Yeah, that seems out of character.
17.
Okay, with a 17, you can see that as it powered on, you can see a panel that is kind of like raised up and slid out of the way a little bit, and you can see a port like the ones that Seeker has attached to.
In these three?
In the dock itself that the three pods are connected to.
Okay, so there's not one in each of the pods. Okay.
No, yeah, there's one port on the dock itself.
How close is the Seeker to me?
Just a few feet, probably like 6 feet.
Can I like pull them over and gesture to the port?
You pull over Seeker and they see the port as you pointed out and they connect to it. As they do, the pods on the dock, they kind of extend outwards a little bit more, now unfolding, expanding, and transforming with clanks and whirs in a very different manner than the other two pods had. Before you now, you can see what look to be three high-tech motorcycles with a few differences. Where there would be one rear wheel, you instead see two smaller stabilizing wheels, and in lieu of a front wheel, you see one giant drill. They come to life and they hum, and the front drills begin turning slowly. And
Seeker says, "Tricycle drill?"
Seeker says, "Oh, my memory banks were so muddled by the inconsistency in the previous room that I could not recognize what these were before now. These are what we call tremor bikes. They were used to excavate new parts of the city as well as demolish sectors we wish to rebuild."
We?
They look just about big enough for two people to fit on each.
Oh my god.
Who's we?
Inhabitants of the city during construction and demolition.
And you were sentient that long?
I've been around a while.
See, the problem here is, Rain, I think these are really cool.
Mm.
Marsh doesn't have proficiency in riding anything.
Fair. That's fair.
And I don't think also any of us...
No, Venus has...
Yeah, I don't know if any of us have seen
him. Really excited because I was like, oh my god, I can use my vehicle proficiency, but I'm only proficient in water vehicles. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you do have a vehicle proficiency, just not for
Turn this thing into a boat and I got it.
The fascinating thing about tremor bikes is that they operate on a sort of short form wavelength. Trolley so that system? If I were to connect to one of them, I could assist in maybe not the entirety of, but assist with the piloting of said tremor bikes.
W Seeker.
Okay, so these there's three bikes.
There's three of them?
Three bikes.
Two.
Yep.
Two can fit on each. There's one, two, three, four, five. Five of us plus Cyrus and Seeker.
Yep.
Cyrus left behind.
No.
Can we get three on one bike and one of those people is Saradin?
Saradin. Yeah, I was just going to say Saradin is not person size.
Yeah, okay. Also, where do we have to go? The door's closed.
We can open the
door. It's a drill. Drill through it.
I'm not picturing these bikes correctly at all.
The front of the bike is a very large drill, and That's kind of the one feature
that
about this whole thing.
That makes so much more sense than what I was imagining.
It's a very big drill. There's kind of like a windshield on it too. Like,
oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, so that's it, right? We're dipping, guys. Are we dipping?
Can we? Do we not want to take care of these guys?
What if we?
They are in front of the door.
They are in front of the door, and I don't know, man. It's not my turn, so.
Yeah,
we're playing with initiative a little bit over here.
Yeah,
Marsh. I guess Marsh, you get say over what happens next, immediately.
Yeah. I feel bad because I do very appreciate this very cool gift. I don't think that Marsh wants to use these, at least
or...
not at the moment.
We could do the cool thing for the podcast and do the very cool thing that of the cool vehicle that I spent a long time working on.
Can I play with initiative?
We can play with initiative, yeah.
Venus is gonna holy, oh my god, bikes, that's so cool. And it's got a drill that's perfect for what we need. So she's gonna run up there and grab Marsh's hand, and she's gonna get on one of the bikes. Aww. And get Marsh on there too. And then afterwards,
so
Venus is gonna look at Ren, and then look at Cyrus, and then look at the bike.
Oh my god.
evil.
And she's like, okay. And then I guess she tries to turn on the bike.
Okay, so you get on the bike, and kind of as you do, Seeker gets onto the one next to you, and Seeker flips a couple buttons, and all of them kind of spring to life.
Whoa.
And they unlatch from the dock, and they're all on the ground now, whirring and humming.
Great.
If we try to drive straight through the robots, are they not gonna, get attack opportunities?
No, if the
on
bike's
a bike that's
prone.
Charging at them,
I'm just—they have tendrils and shit, right?
If we enter their space, they don't get attacks of opportunity. If we leave it, we're probably going to go through
that's,
them,
that's
which
what it
knocks
is.
Them prone
or
kill them.
Yeah, something like that.
Jesus.
Well,
I think Marge is holding their turn.
Well, okay. I'm the one driving this bike, so I guess Venus is just gonna rev up that engine and then just hightail it towards the door.
Okay. You rev up the engine and you drive right towards the door, and with the front drill you go straight through the second robot.
Wow.
And also straight through the 3 feet of metal composing the door.
Wow.
And you are on the other side of it now.
I mean,
wow.
I guess,
see, Marsh...
Meadow, if we're just ignoring initiative order.
Yeah, can we
do
shit?
I think that's safe to say that
we're
done.
Exactly. I guess Meadow
now.
Just grabs onto Saradin and they get a bike as well. Are we, is this how we're sharing them?
Yeah.
Is Ren, it us
okay,
and Seeker?
Ren...
Seeker is on one. I'd say Meadow and Saradin, you can count as one size. That's kind of how I have.
Ren
I
is grabbing
this.
One of the empty bike and
see the thing
driving
is that
it
I
over
think
to
that
Cyrus.
Meadow is trying. Meadow. No. Meadow isn't trying to get Ren and Cyrus to share. She just doesn't want to share with Cyrus.
Yeah, Saradin. I think Cyrus looks at them on the bike, and Saradin just shoots him at the layer.
we just grab onto Seeker and we're like, nope, full.
God fucking damn it. And so Ren grabs the last bike and like sighs angrily and let's sigh.
He's kind of grinning as he gets onto the this back fucker. Of the bike behind you.
Of course,
you.
Evil.
Who's gonna go? Who's doing this?
I'm going.
I think Seeker said that they could do it, right?
They could help.
They could assist. That's my in canon negating your need for vehicle.
Sure. Then I guess I'm steering it because I'm bigger.
Yeah, I'm sitting in front of you though, like
yeah,
like also aww, grabbing
like
all
in your
controls.
Lap. That's so cute.
Okay. Show notes that I'm gonna read and we're gonna do them and everything is gonna be fine, trust me. Oh my gosh, it's everything. I'd like to give a super quick thank you to Dax Ayrton on Reddit. That's DAXAYRTON on Reddit. He's got a lot of really awesome stuff there. You should go check him out. I want to thank you for listening. We've had a consistent few months of just every month is either the same as the last or even higher, and that's amazing, and that's all because of you guys, so thank you for being here. I'm loving the Ghost in the Machine, and we as of right now we're about to record the last episode of it on like the 13th, so that's kind of where we're at, and guys, it's You're gonna want to stick around, is what I'll tell you. But you should follow our social medias at linktr.ee/thediceclubpodcast. Nope, it's linktr.ee/diceclubpodcast. And while you're at our social medias, check out our. Well, I think we post them on all of them. Every episode, one of my fabulous co-hosts makes an art. For the show, from a scene from one of them, and this episode is really, really fun, so you should go look at it. If you want to talk about the show on social media, you can use hashtag #TheDiceCast. That will kind of let people know you're talking about the show, let us know that you're talking about the show, and then we can talk to you and interact with you and just say hey. And if you share any fan art with the hashtag #TheDiceCast, we'll post it and we'll give you a shout out on the show. That's pretty much it. I think we I'm just gonna go ahead and say that we have Q&A links in the Spotify. You can send questions in there. I'm just gonna start compiling. If anybody ever wants to send questions in there, then we can just have them. We're not planning on doing an Q&A episode right now, but it'll be nice to kind of get questions. We also do a poll in the Spotify every episode, so if you want to go in and vote on that, just for nothing important, just for fun. But there's that. I'll let you get back to the show here in a second. Sorry this one's late, there was just some stuff that came up, but the next one will be out on the 23rd, so I will see you then. Enjoy the rest of this episode. The two of you, or the, I guess, five of you, on your two bikes, charge through the remainder of the door. Venus is on the other side, and you catch up with her and Marsh pretty quickly, and you kind of sail through this next very similar passageway before it opens up. Interesting to note the way that the Charmer bikes are kind of propulsing themselves is the bottom of the drill is kind of digging itself into the ground, and like pulling itself along that way. So there, you're leaving a pretty gruesome gash into the floor as you're driving this. You sail through the next passageway before it opens up, the headlights of the tremor bikes revealing a wide open hallway. As you're flying through it at speed, you can see that this area is also overgrown, similar if not more so than the previous rooms. The chamber as a whole is about 100 feet wide, with two 30-foot pathways separated by a 40-foot chasm running the length of the center of this hall. Seeker, increasing their volume, says, "The next terminal is on the opposite end of the chasm. We must get to the drawbridge quickly if we want to make it across." And the seven of you on these tremor bikes continue on for a while, clinging tightly to the bikes and to each other as 1,000 feet ahead of you, you can see the bridge. The one issue with that is that it is currently retracting. It's a little bit more than a quarter of the way off. So there's about 30 feet of it and then 10 more of just gap. And as you're drawing near to it, it becomes increasingly obvious that your bikes are not going to make it in time. Marsh, you hear that voice again. It says, "Focus, Marsh." And you can feel your attention kind of being pulled to the tremor bike itself, your instincts kind of kicking in as you, with your knowledge of kind of artificing, just like picking this thing apart, looking at different features that it has, looking at the front drill specifically, and looking at potential uses that it might have, things that you could do with it. And then you feel your attention being pulled to the opposite side of the chasm. More specifically, the cliff face of the chasm. What do you do?
Like the chasm? Like the cliff into the chasm?
Yes. You feel your attention being pulled to the cliff face and also to the drill head.
And the cliff face is off to the side of the bridge that we're trying to get across. Or is it?
Yeah, the bridge is retracting. It's at this point now, it's over halfway, which would be even if you got there in time, it would be more than 20 feet that you'd have to cross. The chasm itself is 40 feet, and the chasm doesn't look necessarily like it ends downwards.
Mm.
But you are going pretty fast on these things as well, you know.
Can I do an insight on both the drill and the chasm? I want to see which would have better information.
Go ahead and just roll and just one investigation check.
That's really good. That's a 21.
Okay. With that, you can see that the cliff face looks very durable. It looks very similar to the kind of material that you've taken as more solid, less like hollow behind it. It's very dense and it is very, very thick, probably dozens of feet of just solid metal. The drill itself, while very good at removing and breaking things down that are like built or removing stone or whatever, it would be able to get a little bit into that kind of wall, but not much, and it might get stuck there.
I think under their breath, to no one in particular, but to everyone in particular, the voice, Marsh just goes, "I don't like you very much." And then leaning forward to Venus, goes, "Speed up."
You know what, Marsh? I trust you. Okay. And I guess I do that.
Okay, you accelerate faster on the tremor bike, and it kind of is now pushing the limit of how fast it can go.
Does there have to be a separate trigger for the drill head to activate?
The drill head is already activated. It is what is like propulsing you along the floor.
Okay, I just stay like that.
Guys, the bridge is retracting. Are we just planning to drive off?
It kind of really looks like Marsh is just gonna drive off. Is that the plan, Marsh?
Marsh just turns around and looks at Meadow and then kind of gestures to the cliff face, the wall of metal.
That's not a reassuring response.
Yeah, that's all I do.
Okay, you continue onwards, and as you get to...
I cast Featherfall on Seeker.
On Seeker.
Yeah. Okay.
That's in character.
I really like that.
Oh, I actually don't have it prepared. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Okay. Never mind then. You don't cast it on Seeker. You continue forward, or anyone for that matter. You continue on, and when you get to the bridge, there are about 3 feet of it left. And as you approach it, you turn, and your drill kind of pulls the ramp up behind you, stopping it from, or the clip, the bridge up behind you, stopping it from retracting anymore, and you launch across the side. Your tremor bike manages to get some serious airtime before it falls down below the lip of the edge. The front drill digs into the side of the wall before getting stuck, ceasing to be able to drill any longer. And now you and Venus are about 10 feet down, sitting on this tremor bike, stuck out of the wall of the cliff face. What do the rest of you do?
Marsh, what the fuck?
That very obviously was their plan, so I don't know, like...
Are you guys good down there?
Have we, like, because we...
You're on very high-speed motorcycles. Yeah, we don't feel like... You do not have the action time to, like,
I thought that we stopped.
No.
Yeah, no, I think Ren revs his engine as fast as it can go and zooms.
Let's go.
I feel like Meadow recognizes that if she slows down, her chances of making it at all are way lower. and she doesn't have a different plan, so...
Okay.
You know, second choices being made. Poor one.
The other two bikes, you fully accelerate and reach the ramp, which... Venus and Marsh's tremor bike has kind of pulled up into like an upward slope, and you kind of launch across, almost flying across the 40-foot gap, drills digging into the side of the cliff. You each, respectively, I think Ren probably went first. Ren and Cyrus, you're 12 feet down, and the other three, you are 15. What do you do?
Yeah, so Marsh? Did you have,
now
like...
Now I say that. Marsh, what the fuck?
Did you have, like, a plan from this point?
Yep. Marsh, I said I trusted you, which I still do. But again, we are stuck in a wall, in a hole.
Yeah. Like, we didn't fall down, so congrats on that. But, like, up? Question mark?
Yeah. You could try to start climbing up if you want to make an athletics check.
Yeah.
I can't believe we only had these cool bikes for, like, 2 minutes.
The drills are stuck on the wall.
Truly.
They are stuck in the walls. You're kind of like extending out from them. I mean, they're in the wall. They look fine, but like if you can get them out and up, and like, then
I don't know
you're
how
golden.
You expect to climb up with it.
No, no, no. I don't expect to climb up at all. I want to go through the wall.
No.
No.
No?
No.
That's what I was thinking too.
If they could be drilling more, they would, is what I meant to convey with my word picture. They got, like, stuck and jammed. Like, that's the picture that I meant to paint there, but I did not do
I got it.
Great job of doing so. Okay, perfect. So it's Egg's fault.
Yes.
I just thought that the solve your puzzle was to go through the wall.
No.
So, damn it.
Marsh started climbing. What did you get on that athletics check?
Six.
With that six, you kind of, you make it up the cliff face kind of very slowly. You're not falling, but you are going very slowly. What are the rest of you doing?
I am bad at athletics, so I'm waiting for somebody to like throw down a rope or something. Like, I'm not going just hands on. Not happening.
Yeah. I'll climb up and try to secure a rope, I think. Gonna try to start climbing up to at least Ren and Cyrus's bike right above us and try to get up. Yeah.
Hey Cyrus, do you have any useful spells?
Marsh is only climbing 10 feet and they're like 7 feet tall, so that's barely anything.
If we want to get up there, I could just get us up there. I could do that if we want.
But I rolled a nat 20.
So you could have done it the whole time?
You fucking bitch ass!
Well, I can't get all the bikes across, but...
Okay, that's fine. Can you get one of the bikes up?
Why are you here?
Why are any of us climbing if you can just do things?
I rolled a nat 20.
Nobody asked, but I was, all right. You just scale up the wall. Like, you just, like, scurry up.
I purposefully crawl up Cyrus, too.
Kick him in the face a little bit. Yeah, okay. As you kind of do that, Cyrus places his hands on the wall, and between them, you can see this, field of that crackling blue and black electricity start to kind of weave in the area between his hands, and from that a kind of film of light branches between it, and he steps through it.
God damn it.
I want to get one of these bikes.
You're not, how are you going to do that?
I'm going to be
honest.
Can you
get the bike through the portal?
I tie a rope around the bike, like, really tightly, and a bunch of times. And then I step through the portal, but I'm still grabbing onto the bike. Is this a thing that I can do? Reach halfway?
Do you think?
With my feet through the portal and my hands on the bike, and I'm gonna tug really hard.
But it's drilled into a metal cliff face.
I wanna try.
It's drilled.
You guys are haters.
You're attempting to, because the rope is holding onto the bike and you're holding onto the rope and you walk through, that's what you're doing.
Okay. Well, how far away is the portal from the bike? Like, can I?
Should have put the portal right in front of the bike.
No, but the
portal's on the wall.
Next to the bike?
Like above the bike.
Above the bike.
Yeah, if the bike is now a platform you're standing on, it's on the wall, like, as if the bike were a balcony, and you were, like, looking at the door to go in back inside the building.
Okay, well, I'm still gonna try to do the thing that I did.
Don't do
which
that,
is, even if which it's is dumb. What?
First of all, do not... If your bike is level with the portal, I would love it if you did not remove. Try to, you're gonna fail, but try to remove it before we step through the portal via your bike.
Okay, whatever.
Thank you.
I wait for everyone else to get through the portal. Then I help them up.
Saradin's just standing on the other side of the portal, like, just staring.
Yeah, I thought we were doing cool stuff. Come on, guys.
Can we just step through the portal normally, and then you can try to pull the bike through or whatever?
Yeah, I help up whoever needs an arm.
Thank you.
To get to the portal.
Okay. You help up Meadow, and Meadow, do you step through?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then you help up Seeker, and Seeker steps through as well.
I'm also still down
Venus,
there.
Venus, I think you're up.
I am?
A few feet.
I haven't done anything.
Yeah. You're on the bike, though.
Oh,
which was
I'm on the bike.
Up. Yeah. You're, like, up a couple feet up higher than this bike is.
Oh. What
I meant, in the wall still. Yeah, you're not on the...
That makes sense.
Sorry.
If I climb down there and I also help Ren pull this rope...
You're not gonna...
Can we get this cool bike?
It's drilled really into the cliff face, and you're pulling it, like, vaguely upwards, not even out from the direction in which it was drilled.
Okay, how about this?
I just want you to imagine it.
Yeah, like, no, like, I get it. We've already gotten this far.
I forbid you from cutting this idiocy from the podcast. Everybody needs to know. We need to put egg on blast.
You guys are being haters. Why?
You're not going to be able to do this.
I don't understand how it would be physically possible.
Okay. I love the ingenuity here.
I just want
you
to picture it.
You could have just let me roll and then fail instead of, like, bullying me on the
podcast. That is not how this podcast works.
Okay. If you roll and then succeed, that puts me in an interesting position.
Well, you can just make the DC like 20.
At what?
I'm not a fan of the energy we have here.
Like, I just...
I got a 16. That's not good enough. Not good fail.
No, I'm sorry. 16 does not break the AC that I... The DC.
The DC is a nat 20.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough, man. That's tough.
Venus is still gonna climb down to the... I'm gonna... That was... I do a cool flip, so that's an 18,
cool.
And I flip down there. And
Nice.
I look at Red and I see the rope that's in his hands that's wrapped around the spike.
And Venus, I got a motorcycle. I got to drive it for like 2 seconds. I want the motorcycle.
Listen, Ren, look at me. What's going to happen when you keep this bike? Or is it just going to be another party member that's going to be with us forever? Listen,
we're underground. Venus is so tired of us adding things to the party.
We get put in prison, you know?
So much. It's just going to get taken away. And I don't want you to lose that again. So I think we just have to leave it here. And maybe, hey, look, I'm sure there's a lot more adventure left in this world. Maybe we can find you an even cooler bike. Maybe
there's more drill bikes. I just think it would be useful in case we need to drill through something. But okay. And I step through the thing. I get my rope back. Whatever.
Thank you, Venus.
Yeah, Venus does a little moment of silence for this bike, and then she steps through the portal. You all are
haters. Haters and cringe.
I'm just... Okay, listen, even if you were insanely strong, and you pulled the rope upwards and inwards from where the bike is, I think you would just, like, bend, if anything happened. Bend a little bit.
Like, I just want to bring up the concept of, like... impossibility and the feats just immovable and feats objects. Of strength.
Can we get immovable Cyrus to go object. Down there and reasonable. Just make a new portal
around the bike? That's what I'm saying.
You've all gone through the portal, and you're up the edge of the cliff now. Except for Marsh, who is still kind of climbing up, but you're nearing the lip of the cliff now.
Damn!
That sure is a six. Reaches down to help Marsh get up.
That's a hilarious amount of time to spend climbing 10 feet.
I mean, it was a six.
We could have gotten a bike up here 7 feet that tall.
That's a great point. The seven of you are now up on top of the cliff on the other end. I was not looking at my notes, and I lost where we were.
Well, we were on the cliff, finally.
Okay.
We were on the cliff.
Yeah, you're on the cliff. Well, I know, yeah, we've pretty much well established it. We're all on the cliff at this point. So you're on the cliff. Seeker starts down the path in the direction that kind of you were going, but now you're on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Just following them.
All right. You follow Seeker.
Should we do some healing, or are we going to rest?
I would have.
I'm good. I don't need to be healed.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Because I feel like people got pretty low. I'm gonna do mass healing word.
Okay.
I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
No, you got pretty low. I'm looking at your HP and it's pretty low.
Have you been keeping up with it this whole time?
I have.
Whoa.
Hey, that's some good got clericking a little right there.
You're crazy.
And writes down everybody's cuts and scrapes.
Real. So I have to roll for that. That's everyone, because it's mass healing, so it's the whole party.
Yeah.
Well, not me, I don't think, but is it me? Can I include myself?
It is you.
You can if you want. Slay.
That was the wrong die. There we go. That is 8 HP for everybody.
Wow.
Eight HP. All right. You do a little bit of a first aid session before Seeker leads you all to the next door. There's a door now in the side of this wall. They connect to the port, and after a few moments, the door opens. They step in first. The rest of you kind of follow after them, and as you step through that, you can see that this area is expansive. In every direction you look, you can see plots of floor that are covered in dirt. And while the overgrowth is thriving and healthy and like all around the room on the walls and like the floor and ceiling and stuff, each plot of dirt has nothing but shriveled and decayed plants within them. Some of them are just completely empty, the plants having returned to compost long ago. As Seeker leads you down the pathways between these plots, you can see that there are mirrors affixed at many different angles across the ceiling, all across it. And you can see these kind of pillars occasionally strewn throughout the area. They tend to have more mirrors concentrated around them, and there are gaps and openings on them. You also see, littered around the plots, robots. They all look deactivated and like they're just kind of laying down or slumping against the plots and the floor and the pillars and everything. They don't appear as complexly constructed as Seeker does. Their arms and legs essentially just consisting of metal bars. You are walking through this area for a decent amount of time. What do you do?
Do the robots look more like the ones we fought or more like the like Seeker?
You can investigate.
Sure. 13.
Wow. Okay. They look like a little bit more like Seeker, but not really like they're not like similar to either of the ones that either of the options that you've listed. They're like arms and legs and bodies. They seem like rudimentary.
Got it.
They are like constructed of pretty much it looks like the like only the necessary components to achieve ambulation, but their heads are much more complex. They're more like tightly constructed and their face consists of a straight line of a speaker where its mouth would be, and in lieu of eyes there is one glass bulb in the center of its face.
Ooh.
The mirrors, can we see our reflection in them?
They're fairly high up. They look a little bit dirty now. I should say the ceiling in this room is like 20 feet up about, but yeah, there are mirrors on the roof, and while they do look dirty, you can see your reflection in some of them. The angle is tough to get on a couple, but yes.
And the pillars, are they just like, what are those? What's the story?
Are they glass?
you can go investigate, Saradin.
I will. Why do I always do this? I have a -1. Oh, 15.
Okay, you are passing alongside one of these pillars, and as you do, you kind of take a glance inside, and you can see that it is just entirely hollow. You're looking through one of the gaps, and you can see that the inside is lined with various angled mirrors as well, going all the way up and down it, and the shaft seems to go up unceasingly into the darkness, much higher than the ceiling.
Okay. I'm assuming then the mirrors and the pillars are all to bring sunlight down here for the plants that used to grow here, but no longer.
You're genius.
I'm pretty much a genius.
It is also important to note there is no sign of light anywhere along the shaft.
Hmm. Well, not my problem. Where's the next door?
Okay, you reach the other wall after a few hours of walking.
Dang.
A few hours?
Yeah, hours. There's like, gang, this whole kind of area, it just goes as far as the eye can see. There's miles of this.
Wait.
These plots.
You said that there's no sign of light from the pillars. Is there any light, like, at all? Are there lights in the ceiling?
Not, like, ceiling. I've been imagining with just a little bit of, like, just ambient light. Just, like, as if you can just see a little bit, and like Seeker's eyes have kind of been functioning as headlights, so you can kind of see around you a little bit, but there's like not a whole lot of visibility. It's you're not like in the complete darkness, but there's not like an immediate light source around you. There's some like bioluminescent plants as well.
Spooky.
But
ooh, I
want to
look at
that's
those.
Kind of what.
I just want to...
You want to look at the bioluminescent
plants? Yeah, I just want to look at them. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm interested in
plants.
Yeah,
let's play this game.
All right.
Meadow, what if we, like, drew with, like, the plant, like...
I
want to
see if I can take, like, I'm forgetting all English.
A sample?
Yeah, but, like, to, like, replant later.
Oh, like a...
Seed?
No.
Like a trimming?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I think... if you wanted to, if you and Saradin wanted to go over there, I don't know if Meadow knows a bunch about plants.
I mean, she likes them.
Let me lead the way.
Okay.
It's not like she's
all right. You can go.
It's not like she's nature domain or anything. She's allowed to like plants.
That's true. Wait,
only
you are nature domain.
Marsh can like plants.
I forgot about it. I've been imagining life domain this entire time.
I know,
time.
I keep doing that as well, but it is nature.
Okay. All right. You can go investigate these plants. You see, it's a lot of like... those kind of vines that Ren used to conduct that electricity, and some of them have like growths of like pods that are like bioluminescent on the inside. That's pretty much what you see. If you want to roll nature,
yeah, I got a 14.
I think with a 14, you know that it's unrecognizable. to you at least. It's not something that is a like common fixture of the fauna of your world. And I think if you wanted to like make a cutting of it, you'd be able to do that in a way that you could sustain. You don't know if you'd be able to plant it.
No, but you know, like, worth
successfully
a try
back home. But yeah, you could. I'd let you take the thing. You don't. You just don't know that you'd be able to have it find purchase anywhere thing else.
Is there any? Do we have any idea what like? Can we gain from this any idea of what the purpose of this place was other than just, well, planting?
I think this is probably where everybody got their food from, is my guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like a farm.
Yeah, yeah. It's just odd placement for it down in the, you know, underground.
Well, the above ground is kind of occupied.
They didn't make their society very good, as you can tell.
Fallen.
I'm gonna take another one of the pods, but I'm gonna break it open and see if there's just like glowing goo in there.
Yeah, you break it open and there's just like there's some like sap that is like glowing a little bit.
Cool. I'm gonna draw some like little swirls and stuff on myself.
Okay,
that's really all cute, right. Actually,
okay,
I want to do that too.
I want to do that too.
All right, you guys,
I take some of the glowing stuff and I trace my tattoos, and so now.
Okay, I like that a lot. You, I think Saradin, you bring over a few of these pods, and as you're kind of walking, I think Marsh is probably up by Seeker, but you guys have kind of fallen behind, and you're drawing like lines and squiggles on each other and helping outline Ren's tattoos in places that he can't like really reach. I like that a lot.
I splatter some on Cyrus's face for fun. For bullying reasons.
Oh, nice.
Of course you do. Oh,
yeah.
He kind of laughs and splatters some back. He actually smears some of the sap that you very carefully have been trying to do on your arm.
This fucker.
Rude.
That's so rude.
Saradin puts some, like, on his leg where he's not going to notice it for a while.
Okay. And I think at that, no,
Meadow
writes,
like right near kick his me on his back. And he definitely notices that she's doing that.
He definitely does notice, but he also doesn't stop.
It's a good sport.
I think as you're kind of playing around with this glowing sap, you continue walking for the next few hours. Then you reach the...
I was just going to say, I think as the hours get on, Marsh starts leaning on Seeker more.
Mm.
I like that. You can tell that they're kind of, like, having to readjust their, like, legs to be able to maintain, a functional support. So they're kind of, like, also leaning against you to make, like, a stable structure, but you're, like, both walking as... I like that a lot.
Marsh's legs... like their walking gets like a bit staggered and they start kind of like leaning against each other.
I like that. And then a few hours after that, you reach the other wall. There you can see the next access terminal. It looks the same as the kind of last one did. And here leaned against the wall, you can see one of those robots from before. Only this time it is different. Slumped against the wall, an image appears to be flickering over it every few seconds. One moment, you see the robot sitting neatly, just kind of against the wall, and then for a split second, you see a dwarf, unconscious and slumped over. But then, just a second later, it's a robot again. And this happens every few seconds.
And so it just one specific robot?
This one specific robot is doing that, as before. Seeker connects to the access terminal. They go rigid after a moment, and then they stop, leaving you to wait. What do you do?
I don't understand technology. I, Meadow, don't understand technology. So I doubt that I would actually learn anything, but I'm definitely curious about what's going on with the flickering robot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cast Detect Magic.
Okay.
This weird freak. I'm basically trying to see whether... like, there's illusionary magic going on here.
Okay, I think,
Isn't that what Detect Magic does? It tells me the class.
Yeah, no, that's
magic.
Exactly what it does.
Beautiful. And I don't need to roll for it.
No, you don't need to roll for it.
I got my
things
and everything.
I think there's an image that you've kind of used before of you using your, like, tinker's tools to kind of, like, while using Detect Magic to kind of pick apart the specifics of the technology. Like, And I think, like, little holographic projections of each of the parts kind of, like, go up in the air, kind of like a HUD a little bit that you're just kind of, like, seeing through, like, that weird room that Iron Man has. I like that a lot. And as you're kind of doing that, you can see that there is definitely illusory magic at play here, but that doesn't seem to be the only thing going on. Cool. It seems to also be, like, the image that's being displayed definitely has illusory magic, but it is a technological image in nature.
It was technological magic.
I'm going to touch it.
Of course you are.
You can go over and touch it, and as you, like, touch it, you can feel, the, like, the robot, the shape of the robot there, and when that, like, image of the dwarf comes over it, you can still feel the same, like, robot underneath it. It just, the image of that dwarf kind of comes over it.
Huh. Yeah, it's just a robot. I thought it was going to be some wicked shape-shifting thing, but it's just a robot.
Just an illusion.
The illusory magic seems to be coming from the robot itself. It's not someone else.
Yes, yes. It is originating in the robot. And you can also kind of, like, detect very, very, very faint traces of it elsewhere in this, in the room.
Okay.
And actually, I think, okay, as you're kind of investigating this robot and using your, like, detect magic, and you can sense that same kind of, like, technological illusion magic from behind you. And you can kind of hear the sound of those ports opening up again. And you can turn to see that 100 feet behind you, there are three tendrils.
Great.
They open their jaws wide before slamming into the ground, sending a pulse of blue and black electricity outwards. As it travels along the middle floor, some of those robots from before start to come to life, whirring and buzzing as they stand up. They amble towards you, pausing, observing you for a moment before, one by one, their appearances begin to flicker also, until, before you, stand a perfect copy of Venus, Marsh, Wren, Meadow, Saradin, and Cyrus, with even more dozens of equally convincing copies coming up behind them.